You can see them. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. New beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christmas week is an interesting week. We have the joy of Christmas. Easter week, if you look at the calendar, it's all white. Nothing impedes any of the feasts of Easter. You have to transfer any feast that would come during Easter week to the week following that. But Christmas is a different situation. We have the joy of Christmas, the Christ child being born, the angels sing glory to God in the highest. And yet, Christmas Day seems to last only but a day, because the next day we have martyrdom. The very first deacon of the church, the proto-martyr of the church, the first martyr of the church, gives its life. What is a martyr? The word is a Greek word. It means witness. There are types of martyrdom. There's a white, bloodless martyrdom. In one category of St. John the Evangelist was reported to have been boiled in oil and yet survived. And when, of course, he was left the residue of his life in the Isle of Patmos. St. Stephen, of course, represents the blood of martyrs. And this is sometimes called the desired or the intentional martyrdom. It isn't that he said, oh, I want to be killed. It's just that he was willing to accept it. So the intention to do whatever it was to further the gospel, stand for Jesus and for the sake of the gospel, regardless of the cost. Then we move on to the holy innocents, the babies, the ones that Herod sought out to kill. He was trying to find and kill the Christ child. And of course, we know the story that he ordered every child under two throughout Bethlehem, and as the gospel says, the coast thereof, to be killed. He felt threatened by the Christ child. These holy innocents, these babies, did not desire to be martyred, but they were. This is the desire of without intention, but definitely a bloodletting martyrdom. The day after that, we have St. Thomas Becket of Canterbury, Archbishop of Canterbury, who was the Chancellor to the King John II of England. And like his life, I can think of my life, and I think we can all think of our own lives in the past, where we, before we were set forth to really serve God, that we might have lived some level of an unguarded life and did what we wanted, when we wanted, how we wanted. So Thomas Becket represents that. And then his beautiful conversion, when he is prostrated by the impact of King John making him what he thought would be a puppet Archbishop of Canterbury. Canterbury didn't do so, but rather took on the full mantle of his job, his consecration to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. So this is another martyrdom of desire. Some of the symbols of Christmas: red berries, green, poinsettias, holly. The green, of course, represents life. Even in the midst of winter, we have life. And the red, of course, of the berries, of the poinsettias, speak of the bloodletting, first of the of Saint as a calendar mark, but in order, the holy innocence, then the willingness to be martyred, Saint John, but was not martyred, and then the holy innocence, and then Thomas Becket many centuries later. So the red that we have, so these decorations mean something. You know, the world just puts them up in stores, gets everybody in the mood to shop and spend money. But to us who are Christians, these are symbols of this beautiful and sacred season of Christmas. We have 12 days of Christmas, of course, which end on Epiphany. And this is the eighth day, the octave day, the circumcision of our Lord. 12 days of Christmas. I remember when I was young, the song, the 12 days of Christmas, seemed awfully monotonous. It's this round, I don't know what. But there's at least some reports, and I don't know how true they are, but several sources talk about Roman Catholics in England for quite a space of time were forbidden to openly worship in the Roman Catholic tradition. And so the children were secretly catechized. This is one story, and that's, whether it's true or not, it's certainly a good tool for catechizing children. The 12 days of Christmas, and again, this was a secretive way of catechizing the children, preparing them for First Communion and confirmation. Day one, a partridge in a pear tree was Jesus, the Christ himself. The two turtle doves, the Old and New Testaments. Three French hens, the theological virtues of faith, hope, charity, love. Four calling birds, the evangelists who wrote the four accounts of the gospel, St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Five golden rings, the Torah, the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books written by Moses. Six geese a-laying, the 6 days of creation. The seven swans a-swimming, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. The 8 maids a-milking, the 8 beatitudes. 9 ladies dancing, the 7 fruits of the Holy Ghost, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10 lords a-leaping, the 10 commandments, the Decalogue, which we just rehearsed. 11 pipers piping, the 11 faithful apostles, not including, of course, Judas Iscariot. The 12 drummers, the 12 points of faith contained as we recite the Apostles' Creed. Today, of course, we mark the octave day of Christmas, which I said before, the circumcision of our Lord. And in some churches, they've renamed the name of Jesus, which is based on the epistle we read today, that the circumcision, he was given this name Jesus, which was foretold, of course. But it's important, I think, to retain the title of the circumcision, because this is our Lord's first shedding of his blood for our sake, so, and proving that he was the man, as the true man as he was true God, but conforming to the law and doing that first part, the saving activity for us. So the point of all this is that in Advent, we see the increasing light. There was 400 and some years of darkness between the last sayings of Malachi the prophet and then the prophecies of Isaiah before that, of Jeremiah, but especially Isaiah is full of the prophecy, 7 years before these things came to pass. And then through this season of Advent, we trace that time, the light increases, we get closer till we reflect on the points of Advent, death, judgment, heaven, or hell. And then we come to the joy of Christmas, where then that question is answered in the birth of our Lord, the incarnation having taken place 9 months ahead, but the birth of our Lord in the flesh. So the question of redemption, then the answer has been given us and we need to follow it. And Christmas announces that. And then the Christmas week talks about the cost, the different feasts that we have of martyrdom, things that are very sad, and yet this traces our lives also as we are in times of sorrow, need, sadness. 2016 was a challenging year in a lot of ways. The storm we had and just some of the things that happened in the world. So Christmas, like the New Year, which is the first day of the New Year of 2017, Christmas is also a season of beginnings. began with Advent as the coming of our Lord in the flesh was coming, and Christmas where he's born, and then his first act of submitting to Jewish law and to the show us again that he is true man as he is true God, conforming to the law, the beginning of his ministry, even as a baby. So I wish you all a happy new year, and a year where we think about these mysteries, not trying to figure them out, but just bathing ourselves in the wonderful mysteries of our redemption for our sake, by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.